that's not just about us,
but it becomes about community. It becomes about your brothers and sisters. It becomes about the locality that you're in. And indeed, it also becomes about the nation.
Yes.
And a lot of times that when we pray, and we're praying only in concern or involved in prayer concerning ourselves, we lose the bigger picture of the idea of prayer. And Jesus never meant for our prayer to be personal alone. Well, the most powerful demonstration of prayer is collective. And he says in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people,
yes,
not person, people who are called by my name, would humble themselves, seek my face and pray, I will turn and heal the land. And so the whole thing that he's trying to get us to see is in the collective aspect of prayer, not only will the collective answer to prayer be given, but the overflow of that collective answer of prayer will touch my personal need.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. We've got to see that the picture is bigger than me. It's about us. And God, Jesus, never intended prayer just to be about you and you alone. The biggest, highest example of desire of Jesus's desire for prayer is in the context of us. That's been the whole. It's been the whole way since the beginning of time, since he started this thing called the church. It says, if you have your Bibles in Ephesians 1. We're going to read some scriptures from there. But if you remember when Jesus was in the garden, and he said, if he had his disciples with him, he had Peter, James, and John, they were with him, and he says, if you can just pray with me just for a little while. And his whole context wasn't just on what he was going to pray for. And he said that I want you to pray with me that you may not fall into temptation. It was this collective aspect of not him alone, but included with his friends, his closest people, he wanted them to pray with him. So you see the context of us. And he said the whole thing was so they would not fall into temptation. I want to tell you something right from the start, that the power of prayer, when we come together and we pray together, it has a power to keep us together and to keep us from falling. And to keep us from struggling. But there's this power of collective prayer that no other prayer can manifest. It's called, it keeps us. Oh, beloved, are you hearing me? It keeps us together. And if we're together, we are at our strongest. Because the Bible says, one shall put 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000. But if you can imagine all of us in this room, we're praying together at one point and at one time. The only other way I can describe it is the day of Pentecost, when they were all with one accord in the upper room and power came from heaven. And I don't know about you, but we need the power of God in our lives. Nothing's going to change without the power of God. But when we have the power of God operating in its fullness in our life, beloved, no weapon formed against us can prosper. And every tongue. Now, are you hearing what I'm saying to you this morning?
Yes.
We need them, yes? I know some of y'all looking at me, this man's crazy. But I feel very strongly about this particular topic. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Ephesians 1, 10, verse 1, it says this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the servants who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and the peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed what? Us. With every spiritual blessing in every place is in Christ. Just as he has chose what? Us. In him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined for what? Us. That's an important word, us.
Yeah.
To adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted and beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us,
yes,
in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the ministry of his will according to his great pleasure with which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. So his whole intent is to gather us together, because the fullest expression of his desire is not in just me as an individual, but it is in us collectively. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And I want you to go to Ephesians 2 now. Because I'm going to tell you, that's where the real blessing is. It's not just what God does in me individually, but what he does in us. Because when he is working in us, there may be something I need that I'm not even praying for, but because of the overflow coming to us, I'm going to receive. Are you hearing? Am I talking to you? Look, Ephesians 2. It says, and he made alive, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, he starts out saying you. He starts out saying it was us individually. He had to come to us and make us alive individually. But he didn't just leave us to our own individual focuses. It's real easy for us to get caught up in ourselves, get caught up in the stuff that's a problem for me, to get caught up in my own personal desires. It's very easy for that to happen. But he didn't leave it there. Listen, he says, among whom also you want, verse 3, we are all conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and was by nature the children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved what? Us. See, we were scattered abroad. We were doing our own thing. But when the call to salvation, the call of Jesus on your heart, when he began to reach and tug on your heart, suddenly you began to leave your own personal ideas and desires and aspirations behind. And you began to come towards a place called the church, called the ecclesia, called his body. And you left your stuff. And now his stuff became more important. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
He wants you to focus on his stuff and him before you're worried about your own stuff. Because I guarantee you, if you focus on his stuff, he'll take care of your stuff.
Yes.
Listen, this is what it says. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you were saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the fullness, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and loving kindness toward us. The blessing, the real blessing, and what really God wants to do amongst us is not in me as an individual, but it is in the us that we're in. And that's what God wants to do. Do something in us.
Yeah.
Why are we gathered here? You know, I know a lot of people away and stuff like that. But why has God gathered us? Why has these people out of different diverse cultures and backgrounds and different... Why has he gathered us here? Because I suspect he wants to do something out of his riches through us to this community.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just got to leave my stuff behind and get my eyes on his stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things, the stuff that you're looking at. And sometimes he will give us what stuff to desire versus the stuff we're desiring presently. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? Sometimes we get caught up with looking at stuff, and God said, I'm not giving you that, no matter how much you look at it. It's not coming to you. I have a plan on what I'm giving you, and I want your heart to get locked in on my plan for your heart and your life. And when you get locked in on me and your heart changes and you want the stuff that I want for you, everything around you is going to start. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. The emphasis is not me, it's us. Even our prayers also have a factor. I want you to go to Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 5. Put your finger in Ephesians and go to Revelation 5. Okay, here we go. Let's look at it. Chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll, to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of Jesse, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose it, the 7 seals." Who's that? Who is that? Maybe you're not sure about it, but say it like you understand it. Who is that?
Jesus.
Okay. Verse 7. Then it says, "Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to open the scroll and to open the seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And you have made us kings and priests of our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Now he said that the bowl of incense was the prayers of the saints. Now you have to understand this in the context of prayer. Because sometimes when we're just praying, he says, your individual prayers, they go into a bowl. And because Jesus is praying for us, Hebrews 7 tells us that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. So Jesus is praying for you and me.
Amen.
That should be good news for some of y'all right now. Because to know Jesus is praying for us means that we know he's going to get his prayers answered.
Amen.
The Bible says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. No man more righteous than Jesus Christ. He is going to get his prayers answered on your behalf. But he says he is interceding for you. So that means he takes this bowl. Jesus has this bowl of prayer. And he is taking those prayers before the Father. And he is saying, "God, these are your children. This is not just my prayer. This is our prayer." And he's saying, "These are your children, Father. This is what they're praying for. And it is according with your will. That's why I'm bringing it." Oh, glory be to God. That's why I'm bringing it to you. Because it fits your will. And because Jesus brings your prayer to the Father, you can rest assured, dear sister, you can rest assured, dear brother, that God is going to answer those prayers.
Amen.
And then let the devil lie to you and say that God doesn't care. He's not thinking about you. That scripture shows you he is thinking about you day and night, and he is before the throne of God with your prayers.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Isaiah 49:16 says, "Your walls are continually before." You are engraven in the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me.
Yes.
He's always thinking about you,
yes,
first, and he's always bringing your prayers to the Father.
Yes.
Because where he is taking our prayers and presenting them to him. Oh, this is great, because it's not just my prayers that matter. It's our prayer.
Yes.
It's the us factor that brings about dynamic change in the lives of the people of God. Listen, Okay? That's what Hebrews 30. Go to Hebrews 11. Are you with me so far? Okay. Hebrews 11. For people visiting, I'm sorry I get excited. I can't help it. Can't help it. I used to try to not get excited. But then God said, that ain't you. I got you doing what you're doing because that's what you do. The moment you stop being you, Vince, the moment I stop anointing you. Because it'll no longer be the truth. Gotta be who I am. I've heard some people stand up here and say, why do the people have to get so excited when people preach the gospel? You don't have to be all of that. I beg to differ. They haven't come through what I've come through. They haven't been through situations that I've been in. They haven't felt the pain that I've felt. And I'm going to scream to the top of my lungs because he set me free for some stuff. And because he's doing a work in my life presently, I'm going to continually exalt his name in the way that I do. And I guarantee you and I encourage every one of you, and don't let anybody stop you from doing or being what God has called you to be. Don't let anybody shut your mouth. The Bible says the rocks will rise up and praise him if we don't continue to do it. And I ain't let no rock praise him in my place. I'm going to give him glory because he's been good to me. Hallelujah. Let them say what they want to say, not me. I'm not stopping. In Hebrews 11, verse 30, it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. When she had received spies and peace, and I'm not going to read all of that. Because I need you to understand something. The reason why us is important to God is he went, listen what it says at the end of that. With all the feats that they did, they still didn't receive the promise. With all of that, it says in verse 39, and all these having obtained a good testimony through faith did not receive the promise. Now listen what it says. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Because God has an us in mind. And his biggest desire is not just for individuals, but his desire is for the us. So much so that he bridged the connection between Old Testament saints and New Testament saints so that they can be blessed together in one as us. And that's what God's doing. Are you hearing me? If you're hearing me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, in Kenya, where we just came from, and we experienced that God, we saw some phenomenal things, really amazing things. And the reason why we felt that we were seeing these things is because they understand the importance of us concerning prayer. They understand the importance of us and not me. See, because there's not a lot of blessing there financially. There's not a lot of blessing there individual context of blessings. But there is a lot of blessings in the context of us. Because towns are transformed. There may not, everybody in a town may not be saved, but there is an air of godliness in those towns. Because they've understood the importance of coming together to pray. They understood that when we come together, listen, I was barbecuing last night. I had me some good pork chops. I had some seasonal on them bad boys, little garlic powder, salt and pepper, and I threw them bad boys on the grill. Joel, you would have been proud of me, bro. I mastered these pork chops. Put some barbecue sauce on them bad boys. And after my Lily ate them, she had a smile on her face. I mastered them. But something I noticed concerning the charcoal. I've only had one charcoal brick, there would have been no cooking. But because I had multiple charcoal bricks,
yes,
there was some cooking.
Yes.
And I tell you, when we come together to pray, there's going to be some cooking.
Yes.
Some stuff is going to take place when we pray. Oh, come on, somebody in here. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying to you? It's going to take us to come together for some stuff to change. And so, boy, I like them pork chops, though. Woo, Lord of mercy. Guess what? Miss Lily, she's got to go somewhere with our daughter today. And I got me two leftover babies. You know I'm anticipating them. Hey, go. Now listen, the danger of focusing on us for a period of time, he allows it to happen, but there's a danger. I want you to go to Matthew 21, Matthew chapter 21. There's a danger in just focusing on us, because that's never been his will. There's a danger there. Matthew 21, I'm going to begin to read at verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house should be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. We're going to go to some verses later on in that same context. But he is saying, listen, a lot of us think that he went in there, these people, this is stuff they're not supposed to be doing in the temple, so he just drove them out. But that's not true. Everything that was taking place in the temple was supposed to take place. Because when people came from foreign lands, they had to have somebody to change their money so that they can buy for the sacrifice. That's why the money changers were there. They were the ones who would exchange the currency for different nations coming into the place, the temple in Jerusalem, for the sacrifice. They would exchange the money for them. The people who sold doves were the people who were selling the required sacrifices for whatever sin you was bringing into the temple. What they were doing was supposed to be done. But the motive why they were doing it was wrong. It was about them. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? Everything they were selling was for self-gain, was for me and not us. And the reason why Jesus drove them out is because everything they were doing was not about his desire for us. It was about personal gain. And so they were overcharging people. They were doing things that was not about in the desire of Jesus. So Jesus, he sits there patiently. I want you to see, because you have to understand, y'all think that he just went in there and started doing it. Jesus is patient. He sat there. And he sat there for some time creating the scourge which he was going to use to run them out of the temple. He didn't go buy a scourge. He created it. He gave them time. He gives us time to get it right. He gives us time to say, God, I know I've been doing it my own way. I know I've been thinking about myself. But God, I'm ready to change. And I'm ready to do it your way from now on. He gives us time. And he sat there. He made the scourge. He was making it, looking at them. Just watching them. And so when he got up and began to drive them out of the temple, it was not with anger in the context of wanting to just impose physical authority on them. He was doing it because of the pain it was causing the people who came to the temple needing something but weren't getting it. Oh, the reason why he says my house should be a house of prayer is because his house should be a house of provision for the people who come here in need. Oh, a people come here for healing. There should be power here to heal. A people come for salvation. There should be love and forgiveness here to receive. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you?
Yes.
I'm going to get to this point real clear right now.
Amen.
Now, in that same text, Matthew 21, verse 17, it says, he then left and went out of the city to Bethany. And he lodged there. For 6 nights, Jesus left and went to Bethany. For 6 nights, he would leave Jerusalem and go to Bethany. Why did he do that? There's two things why. He went to the house of Bethany. It's called the house of figs. Figs represent potential in the body of Christ. They represent potential according to Scripture. And there were three trees that were introduced in the early writings. Three trees. the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of figs. And that's where Adam and Eve got their fig tree, the leaves, to cover themselves. He says there's a tree, a place, the figs. And this is just by note. This is not really where I want to go. I'm just saying this because I want you to understand something. This is just a little note, by the way. Because this place that he comes to in Bethany represents what you and I should represent to people, a potential for people to have their needs met. Yes. Now, if you notice in a few verses following, he went outside and he found a fig tree which bore no fruit. And the reason he cursed that fig tree, and the reason he cursed the fig tree is because the leaves were saying it had fruit. See, when he came to the temple, these people were saying they had fruit, but they weren't providing anything to the people who were in need. Listen, beloved, we don't come to church just to have a good time and get our needs met. We come to church because there's a world out there who needs Jesus, and we have what they need. And in Philippians 2, he tells us, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus Christ, who looked not on his own things, but on the things and the needs of others.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to move. What is it? I'm going to close with this. I'm just going to close. I'll press the point. This house of Bethany was in a strategic place. It was in a strategic place. It was at the foot of Olivet, the Mount Olivet, the foot of the Mount of Olives. It was at the foot. You need to listen to this. It's at the foot of the Mount of Olives. What's so significant about the Mount of Olives? That is where Jesus is coming back when he returns.
Amen.
He's coming to the Mount of Olives. He will touch down on the Mount of Olives. So why was Jesus back and forth? Listen, he went into Jerusalem with all the struggle and the impending doom that was facing him. He would say, okay, I know I'm going to be here. But it doesn't end here.
Yes.
And he goes to the Mount of Olives and he says, thank you, Father, because one day I'm going to go through this trouble and this struggle, but one day I'm coming back for the result of what I go through.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going through the cross. I'm going through a traumatic death, but one day I'm coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. They may not look like much now, but when I come back and touch down on the Mount of Olives, they're going to be a glorious church, a powerful church, without spot or wrinkle. I'm looking forward to that day. That's what helps me go through the struggle.
Amen.
But we do it together.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
We do it together. We pray. Listen, I'm not trying to force you to come tomorrow night, but I'm trying to inspire you to.
Yes. Yes.
That's why we meet on a Monday night to pray.
Yes.
It's because we see the collective power of together prayer.
Amen.
And we want to see that do something in our community.
Yes.
Do something in your lives. You can see on the day of Pentecost, they had problems. They had issues, every one of them. But they were obedient. And they gathered together on the day of Pentecost. And they began to pray.
Yes.
And suddenly, the Bible says,
yes.
clothed in tongues
Hallelujah.
Of fire
yes.
came down on every one of them. I want to tell you something. I guarantee you their little personal struggle no longer was a big thing in their life at that point in time.
Yes.
Because they were receiving something that wasn't just for themselves.
Yes.
When we receive the greater, you better believe your struggle is going to be answered. Your situation is going to be dealt with because our mind is on us, the bigger picture.
Amen.
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 Yes, amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you have a desire for us that exceeds our understanding, that exceeds just my stuff right now. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us, Father, to look to you and to you only. And God, you would do something in our hearts and in our lives that would cause us to want to come together.
Yes.
If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face, I will turn and I will heal the land. God, we want you to heal our land. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. So as the team comes back, we're just going to take up our morning offering. Before we do that, can I just ask somebody, if you're in need of prayer, can you just stand where you are concerning this whole situation of dealing, if you're in need of prayer, you stand where you are. Yes, amen. Amen. Father, I pray for these brothers and sisters standing right now in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that you would help them, Father.
Help them create a desire.